Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, June 27th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Sitka's rich history of wooden boat building began with the sturdy ocean-going dugout canoes of local natives and peaked in the early 20th century when the harbors were filled with wooden trawlers, seiners, and seal boats. Since then, wood has all but been replaced by fiberglass, steel, and aluminum, and it's easy to think about wooden boats more as museum artifacts than as functional watercraft. But Sitkan Mark Howie sees wooden boats differently. He's built two small skiffs in his backyard shop, and the third is on the way. KCAW's Eric Newman recently stopped by Howie's shop to learn how he's keeping Sitka's wooden boat tradition alive.
You can take big chunks off, or it'll actually just take a little bit.
Mark Howie is demonstrating the use of a draw knife. It's kind of like the handlebars of an old bicycle, except the center is a blade that you pull towards yourself along a piece of wood. The wood handles are old and smooth, and the metal blade is almost black from age.
This draw knife is particularly important to me. This was a family heirloom. Huh. It was my grandfather's and my dad's and now mine.
We're standing in Howie's boat shed. It's a little plywood building behind his house, lined with handsaws and stacks of wood, lots of clutter. And filling up most of it is the boat he's working on.
This is a Lowell Dory skiff. It's going to have two rowing stations. I don't think we're going to sail it. I would have liked to build a sailboat, but the shop is too narrow. It's already way too full here to even walk around the boat hardly.
Yeah. Howie was a commercial fisherman for around 20 years. He'd done some carpentry, and a while back he decided to build a boat. There is a tradition of boat building in his family. His dad did it, and he got help from his son, who went to the Northwest School of Wooden Boat Building in Port Townsend, Washington. But none of them really consider themselves boat builders.
My dad was a go-ahead guy. He built a skiff. So I just had that attitude from him that, oh, just go ahead and build it, you know?
Howie's shop is the perfect tiny boat shed, with a wood stove in one end and walls and rafters filled with old tools, sailing charts, and antiques, and even a view of Jamestown Bay. It's a comfortable place just to hang out and work.
Smell the yellow cedar. Mm-hmm. I spent a year and a half making those 10 planks, and it'd take, you know, several hours a day for a week to cut the bevels with a hand plane. And just, have fire in the shed and do my thing in here.
Howie says before metal boat construction really took off, when there were more people fishing in Sitka, fixing your own wooden boat was just what you did. In the past, wooden boats were more utilitarian. And whether it was a 50-foot seiner or a 10-foot dinghy, they worked just as hard as the metal boats of today. They were working boats, the right tools at the right time.
I think the history of boat building in Sitka, from what I can see with the troll fleet and other people, is that out of necessity you make your own repairs, or some people do anyway. Mm-hmm. It's sort of out of necessity that I build these boats, because I want to have a boat to enjoy to use, and I'm not going to go out and buy one.
And in this way, Howie is keeping the tradition alive more than he might know. He calls himself a wood butcher and scraps and scarfs together what wood he can find. But he's also built three boats like this. His dad and his son did too.
I didn't use anything really special. Time mostly is what I use up.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Eric Newman.
City of Sitka employees belonging to two unions have a new contract. The Assembly approved deals with the Alaska State Employees Association and the Public Safety Employees Association 5 days before their contracts were set to expire. The ASEA represents 62 city government employees. Under the terms of a 3-year contract, they'll see a 3.5% wage increase on July 1st of this year, and then increases of 2.5% and 2% in the following 2 years. The city will cover 90% of health insurance premiums for those workers. The PSEA represents 28 employees at the Sitka Police Department. They will see raises between 4.5% and 5% on July 1st. They get no increases the year after that, and then their salaries will go up between 2 and 2.5% in 2015. The city covers 100% of the health insurance costs for members of the police union. Tor Christensen and Phyllis Hackett voted against the police contract. Hackett also voted against the deal for general city employees.
We can't sustain it, and it's always more, and we can't afford it. The people of Sitka can't sustain it.
Other assembly members voiced agreement during the meeting that the deal will work with the budget ahead, but that future years won't be able to support continued growth. Jim Duncan is executive director of the Alaska State Employees Association. He says his union is happy with the deal for Sitka workers.
This contract isn't overly stated as far as wage increases go, and it recognizes, I think, very clearly the sacrifice that our members made in the previous three-year contract when they agreed to 0% increase. So, everybody wants to do better, but Sitka is doing well. We believe it is sustainable, and we'll be working with the Assembly to be sure that's understood as time moves forward.
Both deals expire on June 30th, 2016. The Supreme Court's decision yesterday on the Defense of Marriage Act is reverberating around the nation, including in Southeast Alaska. On Wednesday morning, the court struck down DOMA, saying the 1996 law deprives people of equal liberty as protected by the Fifth Amendment. The opinion was issued by Justice Kennedy, joined by Justices Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. Under this ruling, same-sex couples who are legally married will be entitled to equal treatment under federal law. Fabian Peter Contes and Amy Oliash are the same-sex couple from Juneau who were watching the case. The couple is heading to Washington State this fall to be married. After reading the ruling that morning, Peter Contes says the impact is more powerful than she expected.
It's indescribable. Not something I expected to experience in my life.
Oliash says she had doubts about how the ruling would turn out after seeing the court ruling in the Voting Rights Act case a day earlier. She was following the decision online, but says she had a hard time believing what she was reading.
I think my mind interpreted the words, but my emotions wouldn't let me go there.
The ruling means when the couple gets married in Washington, a state where same-sex marriage is legal, their marriage will be recognized under federal law. Senator Lisa Murkowski released a statement shortly after the ruling, saying it represents a victory for states' rights and equal treatment under the law. Senator Mark Begich calls the ruling victory for individual rights and Alaskans who are fed up with government intrusion. A man convicted in April for an armed standoff with local police will have to wait to find out his sentence. That's after a postponement Tuesday. A jury found 30-year-old Jace Cunningham guilty of felony assault in the third degree for placing two officers in fear of imminent serious injury with a dangerous weapon. The jury also convicted Cunningham on five other misdemeanors. The charges resulted from a nighttime confrontation at a police roadblock last October on the Frederick Point Road in Petersburg. Joe Vicnicki reports.
Court filings were submitted by Assistant District Attorney Nick Pulaski alleging a prior criminal record for Cunningham outside of the state. However, those filings were not certified by a court clerk. The certified filings, which Pulaski says will be entered into the case, need a review period for consideration by the judge and defense attorney. It was a problem noted by Superior Court Judge William Carey.
This is obviously a case in which prior convictions can play a significant role in the sentencing, and the statute I just cited requires authenticated copies to be served on counsel 20 days prior to sentencing, and then the defense has the opportunity to deny and request a hearing on those unless he's willing to admit them.
The Assistant District Attorney Pulaski apologized for the mistake, while Defense Attorney Michael Heiser pressed for sentencing to happen that day. Heiser noted that Cunningham traveled from the jail in Ketchikan and was appearing in the Petersburg courtroom.
We are here for sentencing. It's taking preparation. It's costing Mr. Cunningham money. There's ample time to get authenticated copies of these judgments. I mean, this case is quite old at this point. So I don't think there's any excuse. I think we need to proceed.
Judge Carey disagreed and thought proceeding with sentencing would open up the case to an appeal, and he ruled the sentencing would be continued at a later date. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
Finally this morning, summer in Alaska means visitors, and sometimes it means famous visitors, especially from cruise ships. One of them was in Southeast recently.
Live long, Te Pau, and prosper.
Live long and prosper, Spock.
That's Leonard Nimoy, who played Mr. Spock in the Star Trek sci-fi franchise. KRBD's Layla Carey found him in Ketchikan.
From the final frontier to the last frontier. Leonard Nimoy paid his first visit to Alaska since 1972 this week, with stops in Anchorage, Seward, Sitka, Juneau, Skagway, and Ketchikan. He tweeted Tuesday announcing his cruise, and that inspired some fans in Ketchikan to wander around town in hopes of a sighting. KRBD was lucky to get a brief encounter with the actor, best known for his portrayal of Mr. Spock, a beloved and very logical character on the original Star Trek series. Nimoy, traveling with his family, says he's enjoyed his Alaska vacation.
We've had a fabulous time. It's a beautiful country, beautiful cities, great people. Fabulous time.
Nimoy is a passenger aboard the Silver Shadow. With help from Marco Torres, I'm Layla Carey in Ketchikan.
How he kind of succeeded spectacularly and failed spectacularly both at the same time this week.
Sunday nights beginning at 8 o'clock.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm baking rhubarb muffins. I want to perfect this recipe so I'll be ready for this year's farmers markets.
When are the markets?
They're from 10 to 1 every other Saturday from July 6th to September 14th.
Are they going to have the same great stuff as always?
Oh, yeah. Good friends, good music, good food. It's basically a delicious slice of Sitka.
One last question. Can I have a bite of that muffin?
Sure.
Yum.
This message brought to you by
the Sitka Local Foods Network.